Hush Money is a production of iHeartRadio.
This is Hush Money, a show about all the money subjects you're too uncomfortable to talk about.
But we're not. I'm Nicole Lappin, money expert and author of the books Rich Bitch and Boss Bitch.
And I'm Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
And we believe if you don't talk about money, you're never going to make any of it.
So let's start talking. Each episode, Nicole and I will debate a tricky question about money and then bring in a celebrity judge to decide who's right.
So let's get uncomfortable.
Nicole, what do you think when you see someone driving a fancy car or like wearing a fancy watch or whatever?
I think good for you. Like you made a lot of money and now you're enjoying it. What do you think?
I think, come on. Are you that insecure that you have to broadcast how much money you make?
That's ridiculous. There's nothing wrong with making money.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with making money. I love making money. I'm just saying you don't have to flaunt it. But wait, before you say anything else, I see you're ready to jump in. I want to tell you a story about a guy named Dan Resnick, because I have a feeling we're going to have totally different reactions to the stuff he buys.
What a shock. Okay, tell me about Dan.
All right. So Dan has some fancy stuff. He likes nice cars and nice watches, and his family is not okay with this. They think he's wasting his money.
They just say, you should have started with something smaller. You should save for the future. You never know what's going to happen.
Wait, did you just talk to this guy so you could show me some dude who spends too much money and whose family disapproves?
No.
This isn't some cautionary tale thing. I mean, is Dan going to lose all of his money and then his family is going to be vindicated? I mean, I'm worried about Dan now.
No, it is a lot more complicated than that. Because here's the thing. Dan has a master's in financial mathematics, and he's a data scientist for Citigroup. So he's figured out a way to get the nicest stuff possible for the least amount of money.
That's awesome. I need to hear this.
All right. So first of all, when Dan is thinking about what to buy, he's first looking at how things depreciate in value.
For example, a Honda Civic, a 10-year-old Honda Civic, you're going to be able to buy it for a couple of $1,000s, but higher-end cars, like there was a few Aston Martin, there was an option as well, or a higher-end BMWs, they never depreciate to that level. They depreciate a lot in the first couple of years, but then they relatively stop.
In other words, there are some things that just keep losing their value over the course of their lifetime, like a Honda Civic. But then there are other things that just drop in value after the first few years, and after that, their value holds steady for a long time.
That means that you're going to be able to enjoy the car for a couple more years. And then when you sell it, you're going to recover just about all the money you spend on it, at least the buying price.
Oh, that's really clever.
Isn't it? So, okay, let me just use some fake numbers here to like draw this out. So let's say that he finds a luxury car that costs $100,000, brand new. And he sees that its market value after 2 years drops to like $60,000. But then it holds steady at $60,000 for the next 10 years. So he'll just wait the 2 years until it drops to that value, and then he'll buy it at the $60,000. He'll enjoy it for a few years, and then when he's ready to sell it, it really hasn't lost any more value. So he could sell it for $60,000. And that way he can keep buying luxury cars and never actually spends any money.
But it only looks like he's spending money.
Right.
And his family still disapproves?
Well, they just don't understand it.
I'm pretty sure most people in general don't like listening to the math side or the investment side, or they just assume, especially because I'm the youngest brother by 10 years, they just assume that I'm being naive.
Now I just feel bad for Dan, but this seems to me just to support my side, right? I mean, how could you object to the way Dan spends his money? He's being so responsible.
I know. I actually love what Dan's doing here. But I would argue that what he's doing makes a case against being flashy with your money. Because what Dan is doing is revealing that luxury goods aren't even as fancy as they seem. Like, you can be flashy by spending a lot of money, or you can be flashy by just looking like you're spending a lot of money. That, to me, is ridiculous. And so, Nicole, this is what we're going to debate today. Is it okay to treat yourself to expensive things? You clearly say yes. I say no. So we're going to hash it out. And then, as always, we're going to bring on a celebrity judge to decide who's right. And today, that celebrity judge is none other than Bobby Brown, makeup legend, who, I don't know, probably has a lot of fancy stuff, but I think is going to support me.
Mm-mm.
All right, so I think that we should start with this. What are you wearing right now?
Excuse me?
It looks possibly expensive. I know your shoes are expensive.
Yes, my shoes are expensive. My shoes are very expensive. Mm-hmm. They're Louboutins. Mm. They have the red bottoms. They were, I think, $500. But let me tell you something about these shoes. Look very closely, Jason, yeah. at the bottom yeah. of the shoes.
Okay, what we've got what's... the shoes on the studio uh-huh. table.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, there's a bunch of crap on the bottom of your $600
like...
shoes.
this
oh, that's
part.
Not what I'm looking at.
Do you see this rubber part?
I do see the rubber
that
part.
That means that I've had them resold because I've had these shoes for like 10 years.
Ah.
And they're super comfortable and they're really well made.
Yeah.
And they go with everything because they're nude and I have kind of a thick calf situation. So it makes my legs look elongated. I love these shoes. I think they were a great investment.
Mm. Okay. Now I'm going to put my shoes up on the table. Here they are. They also have crap on the bottom of them.
That's not what I was talking about. I'm just showing they've lasted me a long time.
Yeah. They're Saucony Jazz.
Uh-huh.
They cost me $60.
And how long have you had them?
I buy a new pair once a year.
Okay. Let's do this
so
math.
Actually,
homeboy.
So the math,
the
math
same.
Is perfect.
$60
yeah.
every year.
Yeah.
I've had these.
$600?
Yeah. They were basically, $60 a year. So booyah.
Okay, but here's the thing. I wear these shoes every single day.
Okay. Mazel tov.
Do you wear your... Louboutins
every single day?
Louboutins.
I don't wear them every single day,
uh-huh.
but I do wear them with many work items. So my outfit right now.
Yeah, give me, more.
I'm bringing back the pant suit.
Yeah, the pantsuit looks good today.
Thank you. This pantsuit was expensive-ish,
uh-huh.
But this shirt that I'm wearing underneath was like from Amazon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a uh-huh. white V-neck.
Yeah, that's
so
fine, but that's
I have
not the thing people are seeing.
High-end, low-end.
They're seeing all the. Yeah, I'm wearing a T-shirt that my dad gave me. This for real, so $0, and then a pair of Uniqlo jeans that I paid. I don't know.
And how long
$50?
Have you had
them? 2 years.
Great. So all I'm saying is that I invest in more expensive things and I keep them for longer. Like, I don't like shopping. I'm one of the few girls maybe on the planet mm-hmm. who doesn't like to
but
shop.
Do you like that people look at you on the street and say, she's wearing nice things?
I don't know what people think when they look at me.
But.
And I don't care.
You must assume that people recognize this
stuff. Don't dress for other people and I dress for myself and I happen to have been in heels since I started my career at like 17 years old, running around as a reporter all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I was wearing heels and they needed to be comfortable. And so I felt like you invest in a really good pair and you can't put a price tag on hurt feet.
I know. That's why I'm like, give me my $60 Sauconys. But wait.
That you have to throw out every year.
Yeah, well, it's because I'm wearing them literally every day.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to put you in the mind of at least one person out on that street, because that's me. And when I see people wearing like designer
things.
But
how do you even know? You didn't even know the name of my
shoes. No, I didn't. You're totally right. But
do you
some
really...
things just scream... Uh-huh.
Well, I'm not
designer-y.
All about wearing a Gucci jumpsuit with Gucci, like, signs all over the place. But, like, I would be down with a pair of Gucci shoes that were nice and comfortable and a good investment.
Well, listen, all the same, I will tell you...
Mama works hard for my money.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Here are the words that go through my head when I see stuff like that. Ready? Okay, we get it.
Whatever.
Okay, we get it.
When I walked into this studio, is that what you thought?
Well, no, because...
Because what?
I guess because I already got it. I already know.
What do you mean you already got it? Tell me what you think about me.
Because you roll big. And you know how I roll. You know, what do you think when you see a guy wearing his dad's T-shirt?
I don't think about that. I think of you for your character and how smart you are. I'm not analyzing like how much your clothes are. I don't know, honestly, if that's like a James Purse shirt or like a Costco shirt.
I don't even know what this is. I think it's a Banana Republic shirt. I don't know. It's probably 15 years old. Okay.
Here's the thing. But you're more judgy than I am.
Can I tell you a thing that I love?
Yes.
I love the Silicon Valley thing where the dudes who are the wealthiest are walking around in hoodies. I'm so into that.
Yeah, but there are Gucci hoodies. Like, I can tell you I've bought X's very
Gucci
expensive,
hoodies?
Very expensive, like Tom Ford and other things, or really expensive sneakers.
Do you think,
do you think those guys
are wearing, I guess I don't know. They look really ratty. Do expensive hoodies look ratty?
Like, look at super expensive designer jeans or like designer rips and stuff
true.
In them.
But why are
and
you like, buying it?
I mean, I don't know. I don't judge people like you clearly do.
I don't judge. I don't judge. I just, well, I guess I judge. Okay, I take it back. I judge. But here's the thing. I really love that because I think that the power move is to not show your power. It's called the red sneaker effect. Uh-huh. It comes from a 2013 study in the Journal of Consumer Research, and it found a link between accomplishment and informality. They were looking at professional settings and finding that the people who were most informal were the most accomplished.
Totally. I get it. Like, the really rich people don't say they're rich, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to say you're rich if you're rich. You don't have to say you're classy if you're classy. You just are.
The power suit is no suit.
But here's the thing. What you're missing is that sometimes more expensive things are actually just better things. They're better. Like the guy that we just heard from, Dan.
Right.
You know, that Aston Martin, is that a better car than that Honda Civic? Yes or no?
I mean, probably.
You love the stats probably, and the studies.
I don't know.
Look up some of the consumer reports that show like an Aston Martin versus a Honda Civic.
Yeah, okay, it's probably a better car. Do you remember this story in the New York Times from, it was 2017. It was about how Amex is losing the snob war because Amex for years had done a really good job of projecting itself as like exclusive and, you know, you like carry this card
like
because
the black
you're
card.
Cool. Yeah. Right. And now Amex is kind of freaking out because millennials are not responding to that message at all. And so it opens with this story in which a bunch of like millennials are taken out to lunch or dinner or something like that. And then they're all asked what card they would use to pay for the meal. And this is what they say. They say about Amex, they say, I feel like it would be braggy, like I'm trying to prove I'm a big shot. And another one says, and Amex says you're rich, but this, and then they like wave a different card, says you're interesting. And that's a really, to me, interesting shift in the way that people are seeing expressions of money, that showing something that is like, I'm exclusive and I spend lots of money on things is not registering to the next generation as impressive. And instead, they're looking for something that projects personality.
I don't know how you display personality in a credit card. That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
I agree. I have no idea how you do that, but it's an interesting microcosm because what they're responding to is not the credit card, it's the marketing around the credit card, right? So they're responding to the sensibility that's being created by this thing, which I agree.
Sure. Silly, I mean, I have an Amex, but it happens to be like a Delta Amex because I travel a lot. So I think that's the smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Could I possibly care less when I was signing up for that credit card what you would think when I put my credit card down for dinner? No, that did not register at all.
Yeah.
It just registered that I was going to be getting more miles, which is what I need in my life.
Mm. I got to say, like, I mean, I'm not like offended by it. I just don't think it's impressive.
Offended you today. I feel like my
I wish they were
$600,
cleaner.
Whatever. But that's the point. Like, they're the shoes that keep giving.
Do you know, when I was growing up, my dad is really into cars. So he would buy himself like a kind of flashy looking car. My sister and I would give him hell over these cars constantly. I can't believe you're being so flashy. Why are you going to buy a car like that? And now I actually feel kind of bad because, like, you know, the guy worked hard for his money and he should spend it how he wants. But somehow very early on, I just was seeing the way people spend money. And I was like, you know, I feel like it's more impressive to spend your money in invisible ways.
Sure. But you can't tell other people how to spend their money.
I can because I have a podcast.
Well, I have a podcast too. I am half of this podcast. And I am going to say that people can spend their money however they damn well please. People work hard for their money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you do not like fancy things.
Yeah.
We get that. I don't judge other people like you do. I don't know what's going on in their head and what they're dealing with. And you don't know people's story?
I don't know people's story.
And you don't know the price tag of those hoodies?
No, that disturbs me. Bobbi Brown launched a simple line of lipsticks in 1991, but what happened next was anything but simple. It sold to Estee Lauder, blossomed into the billion-dollar brand Bobbi Brown Cosmetics, and turned Bobbi into makeup royalty. Today, she's onto her next act, having left her namesake company and launched a bunch of others, including the supplements line Evolution 18, the editorial site Just Bobbi, and a new podcast, Long Story Short. And somehow, amidst all that, she has found the time to come into the studio with us today. So, Bobbi, thanks for being on Hush Money.
Sure. Thanks for asking me to come.
So, Bobbi, our question of the day is, should you treat your yourself to expensive things. And I'm really eager to hear what you have to say because you're all about keeping things simple, but keeping it simple has certainly been profitable. Nicole says, yes, spend your money how you see fit. Expensive things can make you feel good and they're higher quality anyway. I say no. I think that expensive stuff is designed to show off how much money you have, and I'm far more impressed with people who make money and never show it. So Bobby, it is now time to bestow upon us something that is really beyond value, which is your declaration of being correct. So who's right? Me or
well,
Nicole?
You're both right, and I have pieces of both of you in me, I get it. I think there's certain things out there that you don't need to spend money on. I mean, I am the first one at Uniqlo. You know, I like things really simple. I keep my clothes for a long time, but there is a huge difference between a sweater that costs $69 and a sweater that costs a couple hundred dollars. You know, big difference. Also, I like a nice car. I like a nice home. I like, you know, nice things. I don't believe in flaunting it. I would never have, you know, the rich and famous come to my house and do a story. So you're both right.
I wonder about how you transitioned into being able to afford nice stuff because your makeup line, you sold it within 4 years?
Which is unbelievable, yes.
Right.
We sold it and I stayed 22 years.
So you went very quickly.
Yes, but at the time I was a working makeup artist. I was able to make a living. My husband was a real estate developer. The market crashed. So when we started the company, we literally used the last $10,000 we had in our account at the time. We didn't know. There was no venture money. There was nothing. We just used it and we figured it out. But when we sold the company, I'll never forget, it took a few months. We went to New York shopping. What do we want to get? We had a house in the suburbs. We had a car, you know, that we weren't looking for anything else. We decided to send our nieces and nephews to college to help all our brothers and sisters with a down payment, you know, to their next house. Did that. We've literally sent probably 20 kids to college, which is really cool. Mm. And all we could think of was to get a, you know, basketball seats on the floor at the Nets, which wasn't that expensive. And we did that.
You have worked with all the famous people.
Yeah.
Have you seen any correlation between their wealth and how they show it or the way that they relate to their wealth? What patterns do you see having been around people who have just serious money?
Well, people that have serious money, you know, there's all sorts of people, just like people that don't have serious money. Some are really nice and some are really assholes. I don't like people that aren't nice. I don't like them. And there's people with a lot of money that aren't nice, but there's a lot of people with a lot of money that are really nice. And, you know, the greatest thing for me about being with someone who is really successful, you know, they share their knowledge, they share their experience, they share their yacht, they share their, you know, their beautiful homes, their chefs. I don't live my life that way, but I sure enjoy hanging with them, you know, when they invite me.
And when you've seen people come into money, new money.
Yeah.
Do you feel like money just exacerbates or magnifies who they actually already are?
I mean, I think that everything that happens in our life, you know, we are who we are. And the older you get, more of that comes out. And yes, when people make money, you know, they act differently. And it's not, you know, it's not the easiest thing in the world when you come into money. So, you know, we had to kind of learn how to deal with a lot of requests.
Can you say more about that? What does that mean?
Well, you know, you sell the company and, you know, it gets kind of public. And all of a sudden, organizations and family members are coming for money. That's why we said, what are we going to do? What feels right to us? And we said, we want to send the nieces and nephews to college. Oh, and we paid for all the bar mitzvahs, too.
Important.
No, we weren't going to do we weren't going to do weddings. We did the bar mitzvahs and college. Hmm. So
experiences and education.
Right. I mean, there's nothing more important than giving someone education. And to be able to leave college without a debt was a gift not only to our brothers and sisters, but to their kids, our nieces and nephews.
Best gift they could get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you make that decision also because it was a way to communicate to everyone, like, listen, we are going to do something with this money. We will be helpful, but we are going to create these very...
boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, there's been many times where we're out of bounds and, you know, we do some extra things for one because they're more in need and, you know, but we're really lucky because our brothers and sisters are pretty respectful.
To bring what you just said back to our subject of the episode here... you decided to spend your money in a way that wasn't actually visible. It's very different from buying everybody nice cars, for example,
right.
Which I think puts money to use instead of, to me, giving people money in a way that they can show off that money, especially if they're like one step removed from the money. I think it would just send the wrong message.
But look, don't look at me like I'm some, you know, saint here. I don't have them on now, but I have really nice jewelry. I have, you know, some really nice clothes that are absurdly ridiculously priced, where my sister will look at me, you know, she's a very simple girl, and she's like, are you kidding me? You spent what on that? Mm. So, you know, yes, because you know what? I can. I work hard and I can. And I do see a difference of a really good pair of black pants by a designer than a pair that I get at Uniqlo. My t-shirts are pretty much all Uniqlo and J. Crew. And now Alex Mills.
Yeah. You worked your ass off.
I did.
If you make your money and you're responsible with it, then I think that you should go and spend and enjoy it. The thing that I'm always just really conscious about is how what you have is projected to others.
Well, the rich kids syndrome, which I get because I have three boys. My youngest son, he denounced the fact that he was from New Jersey, that he was from a wealthy family, that he was Jewish. He moved to Colorado, went to school there, and he wanted to be like all the kids, you know, there. And now he's in, you know, a big university, and he still doesn't like the rich kids. And it's not because they're rich, because he has friends that are very wealthy, but you don't know they're wealthy.
Yeah.
They're just good kids. They're not show-offs. They're not insecure kids. They're good kids. So, you know, I'm proud of him that he's made that decision. He doesn't want to be, you know, he doesn't want to flaunt what he has.
But that's the thing. I mean, the people who are flashy about it don't have it. The only people that take pictures on Instagram with private jets are the ones that don't have one.
Right, right. That's
like,
true.
100%.
You can actually book, you can rent a private jet on the runway just to take photos.
That is so cheesy. That's gross.
Yeah.
But if you worked your ass off to get a jet your entire life and that's easier for travel and it saves your time, like, get after it. I mean, there's a difference between getting it because you're not going to live forever. I think spending, there's somewhere a sweet spot between thinking you're going to die tomorrow and thinking you're going to live forever. Neither are true. There's like somewhere in between that you have to live. You can't just like sit on all of your money with the anxiety.
Yes.
Has anyone ever overstepped and asked too much and had to be cut off?
Constantly.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's people. There's people that I'm related to that I'm very close to. And I had to say enough.
So you lay the smack down.
Yeah, but it took a while. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. It's like, don't you think I do enough? I mean, come on. So, yeah, I mean, I don't want people to not either appreciate it, and I don't want people to just expect things that are not part of, like, your living life.
Was that a hard adjustment?
Yes.
How did you do it?
My husband is a lot tougher and saner and less emotional than I am. You know, he's really good. But then he's the one that will literally, you know, he heard someone doesn't have a roof on a house and he's like, oh, I just did the whole roof and paid for it. Hmm. Didn't ask, didn't tell me, but he just did it. So
you guys make decisions together or does somebody take the lead on financial decisions?
We say we do, but he pretty much takes the lead. Money is not my thing. I know how to make it. I don't know how to budget it or no, I don't.
That's the most important part of the equation.
I know it is. But no, I mean, my father gave me the best advice when I was in college and he'd given me a credit card for graduation and I was allowed to spend $200 a month, you know, the first year I graduated, which was an amazing graduation gift. And at the time it would be, I guess, like $500 now. And I was always over. And I'm like, and then I owed all this money. And I said, Dad, you got to help me. I don't know. I can't budget. He said, well, stop budgeting. And I'm like, what do you mean? He said, figure out how you're going to make more money. I'm like, okay. And I put an ad in the paper and I, you know, said I'll teach makeup on the side. And
it's a great mindset
right?
shift.
Because
if you make more money, hello, Captain
right.
Obvious, you don't have to save as much.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't want to be a woman today and said, you know, I'm helpless. I'm not helpless, but it just doesn't interest me, all the investing and stuff that my husband does.
Were you worried about raising spoiled kids?
Yes, but
you had such a different circumstance.
I wasn't really worried because we both chose to live outside of New York City in the suburbs in New Jersey. And yeah, it's not that I was worried. I didn't want to raise spoiled kids. I wanted really normal kids. And I've had more people say to me, your kids are so nice. And you know what? They're not rich kids. So I am most proud of that fact.
How
doesn't mean they don't spend money, by the way.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
How'd you do it? I mean, because you could have moved to a expensive suburb, right. Suburb where everybody is a spoiled rich kid.
My husband and I, we're just really simple people. We're simple in the not simple way, if that makes sense. I mean, we have vacation homes and, you know, we do all that stuff and hang with people who are definitely a lot wealthier than we are. But we're still, you know, my hair's still in a ponytail. Mm-hmm. I still, you know, wear my shorts and my T-shirts and,
right. I mean, you present as a very, like, non-materialistic person.
Yeah.
Like, just all photos of you. Like, you're just really, you come off as a really, like, normal, very normal person. Well, it's a weird thing to, I don't know.
No, no, well, my persona is the same person that I always was. Like, I've gotten tougher in my old age, you know, like, the older I get. But I still feel like the same seventh grader from, you know, Wilmette, Illinois that I was. And I, you know, I also realized that when I tried to be like other people, like either in the cosmetics industry or fashion industry, I just was always uncomfortable. I was like, I can't move in these clothes. And I, you know, I'd go to the Met Ball and I'd be like, I'd rather be home. Mm. So I started making choices that I would rather do.
Do you worry that it's going to go away? Do you worry about like running out, or do you come from a place of abundance?
I come from a place of naivete that I think there's tons of new experiences and opportunities. And I come from a place of, you know, life is really good and life is really short. So you better, you know, make the best of it.
My motto is life is long, the world is small, don't be an asshole.
Yeah. It's the same thing as just be nice to everyone. And people would always say be nice because, you know, you meet the same people on the way up, the way down. But you know what? Be nice because you never know what people are going through, you know?
Everybody's fighting a battle.
Yeah.
What's your splurge? Like, I remember the very first time I bought a wrap dress, like a real one, not a fake one. And I was so, like, I felt like I made it. Mm. And that, like, I'll never forget my first time I felt that way.
Right. The most expensive thing I bought at an early age was I bought a pair of Prada loafers. And at the time, I mean, you know, they were probably $200, $250. I still have them. And if my house was burning, they'd be the first things I'd, you know, after my kids. But in my closet would be the first things, piece of clothes I would grab. Because I don't know why. They're comfortable. They're cute. They just mean something to me.
So this is an experience that I've never had, which is like wearing something that is expensive. But aren't you just constantly worried that it's going to get ruined by the world? Like somebody's going to spill something?
Like not drinking the nice bottle of wine because you're waiting for a special occasion. It's like every day is a celebration. Like drink the nice bottle now, wear the Chanel today.
Right.
Like, I use
silver and not, you know, when I don't save it for the special holidays.
I love that.
You know, I have my grandmother's, my aunt's silver. It's in my drawer and it's like they're all scratched up. And they're really kind of cool.
Use it.
Yeah, use it. What am I going to wait once a year? Like have someone, you know, clean it and use it one day? Like that's dumb.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
If not now, then when? When fancy plates?
I'm thinking of
cutlery.
This bottle of Johnny Walker Blue that I was given like 4 years ago.
It's
and
like
it just still, it sits there in a box.
But you know
waiting
what?
Waiting for some moment.
It's not even that expensive.
No, it's not. It's like a couple hundred bucks.
I assume you're not going to drink it in 3 days.
No.
So, you know, treat yourself. Treat yourself. Come on.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Jason.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that's as good a place to end as any, which is both of you just yelling treat yourself at me.
Yeah.
Bobbi Brown, thank you so much for joining
us. My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
So we have reached quite a moment here in our podcast.
What is the moment?
The moment is that these are the final minutes of the first season of Hush Money.
That's so exciting.
I know.
And I know you want to tell me who won.
Yes,
the
I do.
Final
I was
going
to say, let's take a look back. Oh my God. We split 4-4.
Seriously?
How about that? We didn't plan that.
We didn't. You can't tell. Our judges are like, they have their own opinions.
Oh,
you can't tell them what to say.
No, that's kind of
crazy.
Nice.
And we all collectively won because we're talking about stuff that we normally would feel uncomfortable to talk about.
That's true. I agree with that. This has been a lot of fun. I can't wait to do season 2, which is coming in only a short amount of time. We're going to take a little break. And in the meantime, if people want to continue to enjoy your company, Nicole, they can do so. I know you have a new book out called Becoming Superwoman.
Yep. It's a 12-step plan to go from burnout to balance. It's basically lean out and realize that self-care is the biggest asset or liability in your career.
That is important.
So no need for separation anxiety if you grab the book or listen to Jason's other podcast, mm-hmm. Pessimist's Archive. And I kind of feel like I should be jealous that you have another podcast.
But I do not have another co-host.
Okay, so then I'm not. And so it's fine. An amazing show, so I'm the biggest fan.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So Pessimist's Archive is a history show about why people resist new things. In each episode, we look at the moment that something new was introduced, something that today we think of as totally commonplace, like the car, the bicycle, the novel, the Walkman. And we try to understand why everybody freaked out about it. And so you should go check that out.
Don't be on the wrong side of history.
No, that is exactly right. Well, Nicole, this has been a total blast.
Complete blast. And it's not goodbye. It's just, I'll see you later. We'll hush for a little while, but then we'll come back.
Unhushed.
Unhinged and unhushed.
Well, then stay tuned, everyone. It is Jason and Nicole, Unhushed, the sequel.
And that is Hush Money.
Hey, are you subscribed to Hush Money wherever you get your podcasts? You should be. And please give us a rating, which helps others find the show.
It sure does. And if you want to keep up with us on social, I'm at Nicole Lappin. Jason is at Hey Pfeiffer. And for the podcast specifically, it's at Hush Money Podcast on Instagram.
We've got great people to thank. Our amazing producer is Christina Everett. Thanks also to Mangesh Hatikador, Will Pearson, Beth Ann Macaluso, and Nikki Etor, and the rest of the great iHeart team. Our sound editing is by Mary Duke.
And a special thanks to my badass NBG team, Sabrina Anderson, Megan Nelson, and Kate Garrison.
Hush Money is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. All right, we are done. And
scene.